morning we are Masechet Yom Daf Yud Zayin, and we're going to just continue from where we left off yesterday at the bottom of Tet Zayin. We bet this shir is coming from the Herzliya Marina, so I hope you already enjoy the view. Well, there isn't actually much view, that's the truth, from where I'm sitting. Anyhow, all right, so now we were in the middle of a sugya yesterday where we started this sugya already on Tet Vav Amud Bet. Where we brought Na'an Hatam, and Rashi explained to us there that the only reason we're bringing the sugya is because we've spoken earlier about who's the Tana Masechet Midot. Here's another sugya of who's Tana Masechet Midot. Try and prove that Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov is the Tana of Masechet Midot. And we got involved in a machloket here of two different versions in Tamid and the Midot, Masechet Tamid and Masechet Midot, of the Lishkot. Now, if you take a moment and have a look at the diagrams that you've got. If you look I think everyone's got the diagrams of the Lishkot. So these Lishkot were at north, I think, on the northern side of the Azara, just north of the Ulam. Not directly in front of the Mizbeach, but a bit to the left of the Mizbeach, you had four Lishkot. Right, so you had in those Lishkot over there, let's just go through them. We had Beit HaMoked, that whole area is called Beit HaMoked, and then we had a Machloket, what was what. And you've got the four Lishkot, you've got entrances. You've got an entrance from the Azara and an entrance from the Chol. That's a classic answer. I showed yesterday a picture of the Rosh's version. We said all of them were outside the Kodesh, but the accepted opinion here is that they're half inside, half outside, and you could come in from the different direction. So you had the four different Lishkot, and we saw the different versions in the Gemara. But basically, we had the Lishka where we had Chashmonaim, where they put it right around the rocks. We had the Lishka where they went to the mikveh. We had the Lishka where they had the Tlaim. And that's how the whole thing started, where the Skan sent the guy to go and bring the Korban HaTamid. And what was the fourth Lishka that I'm missing? It was the Tlaim, the Mitzoraim, the Nazirim. The Nazirim. We haven't missed that one, where they would burn their hairs, etc. Okay. So now, we spent a lot of time trying to understand the different shitot between the two different masechtas, to see who the Tana was. We brought a lot of calculations with regards to where the Mizbeach was. The idea of pointing out who the Mizbeach was, we saw a machloket between the two different masechtas, between Tamid and Midot, of Rabbi Yehuda in the one masechta and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, about the whole idea of the kotel, HaMizrahi having to be a smaller kotel, so that you'd be able to see when the Kohen was busy doing the Hazaah, burning the Paraduma, you'd be able to see through. We wanted to prove from there, the only Tanu who would tell us that we have a short wall was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And we went through the calculation. We saw that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov had an extra amma in the heart of the floor of the ulam and the echal and the kodesh. He had an extra amma where you would go up when you came into the Ezra. Remember the Ezra Kohanim, the Ezra Yisrael. As opposed to Chaim, who had 19 and a half ammas, he had 20 and a half ammas. And therefore, we know that the petach in all of the doors, the ptachim were 20 amas high. And if, of course, this was, according to Rabbi Yaakov, 20 and a half amas high, the floor, if the petach of the Kotel HaMizrahi was 20 amas high, the wall above it would be too high to block your view. Then we said, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach was in the middle. Then we saw the Mizbeach calmly in the middle, and we worked out that, according to Rabbi Yaakov, the Mizbeach, and we did this whole calculation yesterday, the Mizbeach actually sat most in the Mizrach, but about 5 amas was in the north. Everybody with me? Let's look it up to yesterday. So if the 5 amas were in the north, it's still a bit of the Mizbeach was blocking our view, irrespective of the hearts. And we got up to yesterday and we said, Ikhladat Milut Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbeach b'emtz Ezrami Mishkachet, Ha'arubin Mizbeach b'darom kai. The majority of Mizbeach is in the south, and we did that whole maths, and we saw that the majority was in the south, and therefore it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda with Yehuda Shimon. And now the Gemara ends off today. And I specifically left it yesterday, today, because we'll see it gets a little bit tricky. The Gemara today on Yud Zayin, like, Ela Lav, therefore, obviously, we have to conclude what? Shema Minah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he, Shema Minah. What does it mean, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the Tana of Masechet Midot. He is the Tana. Now look at Rashi over here. Rashi throws a little bit of a spanner into the works. It says like this. Ve'ichselei b'mali atayra. And now that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what is the problem? That petach of the wall, of the entrance to the door, sorry, of the wall, of the entrance to the kotel, to Harabayit, right, ve'ichselei b'mali atayra is covered because of this extra mala, this extra ama. We haven't got 19 and a half, in which case the petach was 20, we had extra half, about half an ama spare of that door frame, which we could have seen through from Har Habayit. No, there's 20 and a half amas is the height of the Kodesh, and therefore you wouldn't be able to see the Kohanim on Har Mishcha, on Har Zaitim, wouldn't be able to see in. That's why she says, Vechsela b'mali yitera. V'lov mizbech, not the mizbech that's blocking us. Now Rashi says something amazing, which we're going to see later on, Amma Sechta and Dafla Amma Zayin Amma Dada. Why isn't it the mizbech that's blocking us at all? Yesterday we said that about five Ammas of the mizbech, of the northern Ammas of the mizbech, were actually in the Tzafon. So then, and I think it was Selwyn who asked the question, wouldn't the mizbech have blocked us? So we're now saying, El Elav Shema Minah, Shabbat Rabbi Shimon, and it's not because the Mizbeach is blocking us, right? But wait a second, even if Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, according to what we said yesterday, we still have got a couple of Amas of the Mizbeach blocking us, and it wouldn't help us very much. So the Gemara, Rashi explains like this. He says, V'lo b'mizbeach, t'shpain Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'perek shlishi, l'kam andaf lamed zayin amud aleph, we'll see it in exactly 20 days. 20 daf. Rabbi Yaakov says, forget about that calculation we did yesterday where we had five amas in the north. The whole Mizbeach is in the south. Right? The Amar Kule Mizbeach. V'chol chatzi chalal ha-petach megule. And the whole, and if the whole Mizbeach is in the south, then we worked out yesterday that halfway line was 67 and a half amas. And now the whole Mizbeach is in the south. So we've got half the ulam, is half the heichal, half the kodesh is open. And now the southern half will be blocked because the top of the Mizbeach is now exactly in the middle. So the middle is in the middle of the door to the kodesh. But the whole northern half is open. And basically the kohen's got uninterrupted view now from Har HaMishcha, from Har HaZaitim, right onto the northern half. So how does he get that the whole Mizbeach now is in the south? We did yesterday a calculation, we had five Amas in the north. It says like this Rashi. Ve'ikashi ha'echi mitukma, stam midot alibe. And now how are we going to do this? He says, stam, the midas are contrary to Ben Shimon. Ashmeinan miha, stam she'ocher ha'mizbeach, sheva mupet safon, because he says, yeah, seven. I don't know about seven. I worked out five, but anyhow. Al korach achachem efrashiron. This is how Rashi explains how we get to the whole mizbeach in the darum. Hani eshrim b'chamisha amot shetanoten she'ein ba'kevesh lekotel ele chamisha amot umechza va'kevesh amizbeach shimushtayim. It's like this. When we did the calculation yesterday, we had a couple of things that left. We had about 25 amas which were left out, which were replaceable with the table and all stuff which we hadn't taken into account. We had split it up and we had 10 and a half. Basically, if you would have put half, you would have had 10 and a half amas. This is like this. Now we're going to come to calculation. You'll see that there's 5 and a half amas at the beginning on the southern side. Put 5 and a half amas from the wall. So we've got the wall, the southern wall of the Mizbeach. Remember that whole Azari is 135 amas long. Divide into two, you've got 6, 7 and a half. Stick 5 amas at the beginning. 5 and a half is your wall, is from the wall to the Kemesh. And then, the Kemesh and Mizbeach are 62 amas. So 62 and 5 is 6, 7 and a half. And there's exactly your Mizbeach and your Kevesh and 5 and a half amas on the southern side. And Mizbeach kulo b'darum kai v'chulo k'neged emtza azara. And now you've got exactly half of the azara taken up with the Mizbeach. V'amotar kulo l'makom ananasin. And the balance of that 25 amas which we had goes, we had those nanasin, remember? We had those like stumps where they would flay the animals on the northern, the very most northern part of the Mizbeach. So we had the Mizbeach, then we had the gaps, and then we had those hooks, and then we had gap, and then we had the tables, then we had a space again, and then we had the nanasin, and we had space again, and then we had the wall. So now it works out absolutely perfectly of how we get from each one to each one. Look at Rashi over here now. He says, "V'chulu k'negel himself." So, "V'hamotar k'lo makom." I said, "Im tomar im ken shelo dikta katan lechelko lechatzain." If Rashi says, "Now wait a second. If we're going to say that just now we quoted Rabbi Lipshim ben Yaakov, we had five on the north or seven on the north, and now we're saying put the five and a half at the beginning and the mizbeach move to the south, but you can do whatever you want. What's the problem?" He says, "V'yesh tochalar bot lo ma'it lechatzitz." If you want to add and subtract whatever you want, so we're missing some amas, let's add them there. We have an accounting for some amas, let's put them there. So he says, then Krabi Yehuda Navi Matzid Mukemet. And then why do you say Daf Krabi Eliezer ben Yaakov? You can rightfully say it was Rabbi Yehuda, and it's all in the middle. Sorry, there we are. And says in the middle. How would that be Ketzat? Rashi says, let's do the math. Ketzat. Tedishrim v'chadu mechzamehem ben kevesh lekotel. Because if we had put 21 and a half between the kevesh and the kotel, but kevesh toshim v'chetzi, and the kevesh is 30 and a half. V'mizbeach shisha asar nimtza em toshim mizbeach lesof 67. You could easily have done the same math by taking the 25 and putting it at the beginning. So why do we prefer to put 5.5 at the beginning and say that the Azara is right, that the Mizbeach is in the whole southern entrance? How long, Max? You couldn't have said that calculation. Why? Because we worked out yesterday, remember we did the maths. There was that long Rashi on Ted Zion, where we said that we have to have a place for the place between the Mizbeach and the Tabaot. Then we have to place between the Tabaot and the Shulchan. Then we have a place between the Shulchan and the Nanasin. Then a place between the Nanasin and the walls. We also have to account for the Nanasin. We also have to account for the Tabaot. We also have to account for the Shulchan. Says Rashi, if you take the 8 and the 4 and the 8, etc., which all the places from this to that and this to that and this to that, and you put 25 on the southern side, you're not going to have anywhere to put the Shulchanot, anywhere to put the Nanasin, anywhere to put the Tabaot, etc. So therefore, he says that won't work, and we're forced to go back to the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, where there we see that the Mizbeach is all in the south. And you know what? Let's just take a moment and pop over to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Just is worth completing this whole sugya and seeing how the Gemara there actually comes to the conclusion that Rabbi Eliezer Shimon Yaakov says that the Azar, that the Mizbeach is all in the north. You look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Nakum Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph." Says, "Bar le Mizrach Azar le Tzafon Mizbeach." So he comes to the eastern side of the Azara, north of the Mizbeach, and then Askan Miminov, Rosh Beit Av Mismolo, Vesham Shnei Sirim. You know, Avodah Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is coming out to do the lottery for the Sir Echad Lazazel, Mechir Echad Lashem. Whereas we're telling us that he stands, comes to the eastern side of the Azara, north of the Mizbeach. So now look at the Gemara, the very first wide lines there on the Amud. Midaka'ama Litzafon HaMizbeach. From the fact that it says he's standing to the north of the Mizbeach. Michlal de Mizbeach la betzafon kai. The Gemara's being very, very particular. He stands to the north. Meaning, now, I might have thought that north of the Mizbeach means the Mizbeach could be the north. But you're more north than the Mizbeach, right? That's what it made logical sense. The Gemara says, no. Midakama de tzafon de Mizbeach, Michlal de Mizbeach la betzafon kai. It appears that the Mizbeach is not in the north at all. Look at Rashi here. Shehutrach lemoshcho mikeneged haMizbeach uleTzafon. We have to have him opposite the Mizbeach, but on the north. Ah, therefore the Mizbeach isn't in the north. And the word says, "Mani, who's that?" Rabbi Zvi Yaakov. The Tanya, Rabbi Zvi Yaakov says, "The Tzfone difne Hashem, sheTzafon kulo panui diva." Rabbi Zvi Yaakov says that the north is Lipnei Hashem. We have to have the whole northern area free. The word says, no, this is not a case of racial safe, etc. Kul Rabbi Yehuda ben Yudahi, v'tani bevein ha'ulam ulam mizbeach. What does it mean, bevein ha'ulam ulam mizbeach? If you look at the Rashi down the bottom, it says, Kul Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakovi, v'tani bereisha par haya omed bevein ha'ulam ulam mizbeach. The par was standing between the ulam and the mizbeach. The Ulam is on the western side, remember? Samuch levein ha'ulam ul-mizbeach, close to, etzel miktzot, on the corner of the northern corner of the Mizbeach, shehaya mekarvan etz la'petach b'chol yecholet mishum chush. The corner is weak, we don't make him too far, we walk up and down. But yoter mikan lo yachol ha'karin kong, any closer. Te'im ma'ayilei keneged mizrach ha'mizbeach, la'obot zavri, they're taking him to the eastern side of the Mizbeach, would be outside the north. It wouldn't be north of the Mizbeach. So he wants to prove from there. We'll get to it in more detail there. But bottom line, the Gemara concludes, and Rashi explains very nicely over here, that it's clear that that Mishnah, which we started learning on Tetvav, is called Rabbi Zeb and Yaakov, which says that the Kotel wall was low, because we see called Rabbi Zeb and Yaakov, the floor was an extra amaha. He wouldn't have seen through it. The Homies Bach, and Rabbi Yudhuman says in the middle, maybe move it aside. No, it doesn't block us at all. We bring the Homies Bach into the south. That's proof from Lamed Zayin. Get it over there, and bottom line, the Kohen could stand on Haramishcha and have a clear view of the whole northern half of the Ulam through the Mizbeach on the other side. Okay, so that's where we end up. Now it was like a Shav Adabereid Rav Yitzchak Amar. This not Rav, that was Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says, like a Shav Adabereid Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka. Now we go back to the Machloket, but the Machloket between the two Masechtas, between Masechet Tamid and Masechet Midot, where the Lishkata Tla'im was. Okay, remember that Machloket? It started on Tetvav Amud Bet. When we started, we brought Amalem Amune, Tzuveviu, Talem, Lishkat Beda Tla'im. And then the writer said, the Mishnah said, Valo, Lishkata Tla'im, Ayab, Mikzoa, Tzfonit, Maravit. Where is it? It's on the northwestern corner. Right inside the Beit HaMoked, where those four lishkot, the lishka of the Tla'im, he says over here, is on the northwestern corner. And then we said, V'raminu, four lines up on Tetvav Mubet, V'raminu, Ab lishkot, the four lishkot, right? And that over there, there was a Gemara in Midot. So we had Tamid said it's on the northwestern, and Midot says, Ab lishkot ayu, Beit HaMoked, because etc. It's in the bottom last line is Vaital Yishkat Tla'ya Korban Maravit Dromit on the southwestern. So we've got two opinions. We've got Masechet Tamid says northwestern, Masechet Midot says southwestern. Okay, and then we spent a lot of time afterwards trying to go back and forth. So who's the Tana of Midot? Midot is the one that says southwestern, and we wanted to prove that that was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Gemara now revisits that Machloket. And says like this, Rabbi Adabar Yitzchak says, no, don't come along and say it's two different Tanaim, two different Masechtas, that's the way to the Stira. He says like this, how can we resolve that Machloket? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Adabar Yitzchak Amar Ha Lishkat Tla'im Aktsuye Maktsia. He says, what really was? He says, B'shtei Miktsuot Nir'eit. He says, it's not really in two different places. It appears that it's in two different places. Okay, this is like a bit of what do you call it? Like modern day magic is not really magic. What's it called? Illusions. Right? So he says it's all an illusion. It depends where you're standing. I'm going to shorten this and not really stretch out the whole sugya, because there's a lot to be said over here. Not all the Rishonim agree with... Did I go on to mute for a second? Right, can you hear me? Right, so not all the Yishonim agree. There's quite a lot of them. There's a Tosfot Yishonim here, and there's the Rabbanu Hananel, who've got their own different version. We'll look at them in a second. But he says like this, Rashi. He says, B'shtei HaMiktzo'ot Nir'eit. It looks like it's in both corners, like in the northwest and the southwest. She'arukahi, it's a long lishka. It really, and it's all on the west, right? Everybody agrees on the west. The question is it on the northwest or the southwest? So it's actually quite long. It takes up a lot of the side. So I suppose, remember, we had the Lishkat HaTla'im, and we're going to have Lishkat HaLechem according to the one Mishnah. Could also be there. So it will depend where, if it's very long in the northern side, right? Then obviously the one Lishka is very small. Ad, so he says here, V'letzad ha-tzafon ha-drom, Ad karov l'mektsuot shemikan umikan. So really it's like an elongated lishka. And now if you remember the diagram, how you enter this Beit HaMoked, you can come in from the Kodesh side, which is the southern side, or you can come from the Chol side, which is the northern side. There are doors on both sides. Look at your diagrams there. So now, what the Gemara is going to say in short is that if you come in from the south, because it's so long, so the guy coming from the south sees, you know, if you walk in, you see what's in front of you. So in front of you to the left, he sees the northern corner of it. So he imagines that it's in the north. And the guy who comes from the north comes in, and he sees to his right, and he sees the southern portion of it. So it looks to him like it's in the south. Okay, that's the, we're going to see that in a moment. Gregor is a bit more complicated and says, depending if you're going clockwise or anti-clockwise, how you count in the chambers. And we're going to see in a moment the two different opinions that we saw earlier on. All the brides agreed that there were four chambers there. And all of them agreed that there was a Lishkat Lechem of Beit Garmo, right? All of them agreed in that. The question was, where was the Lishkat HaLechem? Okay, if the Lishkat HaLechem is in the Drom Ma'arav, so it's a bit difficult to say that the Lishkat HaTlaim takes up the whole side. If the Lishkat HaLechem is in the Drom Mizrach on the eastern side, then it would make a little bit more sense. We'll see that just now. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Yeah? I mean, there must be. I haven't seen the machloket anywhere. Maybe you got a note. But that's what I said. If the Lishkat, that's what I know. No, look, it's not just an illusion that it, everybody, the way we're explaining it, the Makot of Adabarei Rabbi Yitzchak, it's clear that Lishkat HaTlaim was a little bit longer than the other Lishkot. Okay? Which means that the fourth Lishka, which is opposite, it has to be smaller. I already said that. Right, because otherwise you can't have all four lishkot equal if the one's longer than the other. So the understanding up until now, all the diagrams which we've seen have had all four lishkot the same size. There is, according to the way of Adabari explaining it now, you would have to say that this lishka was longer than the other lishkot, and whichever lishka it was, if it's in the north, then the lishka which should be in the south would be slightly smaller. If it's in the south, the lishka in the north would be slightly smaller. You'd have to say that, right? You'll see if you want it, if you stop me already. So look at Rabbeinu Chananel. We haven't finished sugi. We should have done this afterwards. But let's go look at Rabbeinu Chananel for a second. Rabbeinu Chananel says, he says, "Vahide." If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, "The pirush iktzur miktzah." It's about the 6th, 7th line of Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, "Klomar." What does it mean by we say the iktzuye mikatzia? That's a bit. He says, "Klomar omdot b'miktzua meshucha," slightly pushed away. Min hazaviot kimat. So he's saying that it's not in the corner. It's actually a little bit in the middle of the western wall. Not in the corner. Umanda kai le droma, and the one standing on the south, chazila betzafon, looks at it in the north. Umanda kai betzafon, chazila bedarum, sees it in the south. Vahada kariya tzvonit, tzvonit lazar. And now he's got a creative solution of Rav Reno Chananel. He says, why does he call it north? Why the carrier tzvonit? He says, because it's tzvonit la'azara. It's north of the azara. Why the carrier le'dromit? And the one who calls it dromit says, dromit le'cheil. The cheil is the other side. See, he says, it's not an illusion like we're saying, walking in from the south to the north and it looks to you like, and you're seeing the opposite corner. He says, no, everyone sees it with the same place where it is. But the one guy who calls it north is referring to north of the Azara. The one who calls it south is referring to south of the Chayil. Which maybe makes a bit more sense because in the Desert of an Illusion, he says that it stands a bit set aside more in the middle of the Beit HaMoked and not really stuck away in one corner. Anyhow, Tosfot Yesharim also has a bit of a take on that. If you want to look over here, he says, Hekshir River, Lama Huchach, Latreitz Ken, Vishdilay, the Beit HaMoked, Ayad, it's for north of the Azara. Similar to what Rabbi Chanel says. So why did you say that the Beit HaMoked was north of the Azara? The south of the Moked is north of the Azara. Then we see the Masechet Tamid over there. When we said there that it's in the northwestern corner, what do we mean in that Mishnah? Azara, north, the northwestern corner, as far as the Azara is concerned, Shumaravit, Robit, Shabalamoked, which is actually southwest of the Baramoked. And in Midop, when they said that it was in the southern side, they're referring to the southern part of Beit HaMoked. Okay, as he says, very similar to Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosfot Yesharim. Rashi goes slightly different of you. Let's carry on with Rashi. Now the Gemara says, like, when you come from the north, you see to the south. Right? So Rashi just adds slightly onto that. He says, it's a bit more to the south. It goes from north into the south. And when you come from the south, you see it in the north. Why? Because it also goes a bit more into the other. In other words, according to Rashi, this thing's a little bit long, etc. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, according to Tosfos Yesharim, it could be equal size. And just north or south depends on the reference, if it's referencing it to the Azara or referencing it to the Chayil, which is outside the Azara. Okay, so, yeah, you can choose whichever one you want. So, let me start with my Tromiti. It says, now the Gemara is like, however, umistabra, it makes more sense to say, where is this Lishka? Debe ma'aravit dromiti, on the west, southern western corner. And who says the southern western corner? That's Masechet Midot. Okay? That's Masechet Midot. Now, why does that make more sense to say that's actually the southwestern corner? Says like this. Gemara says amazing, amazing explanation of why. Says Mimai. How do I know that? Says the Gemara. Actually, look at Rashi here for a moment. Mistarbe de Mimai Dromitave. Right? Tve mid. Is that here? Midot tve. More like in Masechet Midot than in Masechet Tamid. Umodi ba Tanin Tamid. And the Tanin Masechet Tamid agrees that it's in the southwestern corner. And the Nakit Sidra, he chose the order, the Ati Midarom Letzafon, when you're coming from the south into the north, Mitchazile Derech Hilucho Kilu Betzafon, walking in, it looks like it's in the north. Okay, that's Rashi's explanation, like I said before. Everybody agrees, he says, even the Tana in Masechet Tamid. But he's speaking about, you come from the southern entrance, so because it's like a bit of a lengthened place, you see the northern corner of it. And that's why he said it was. Now, how do we know that he wants to say the Gemara? Midramina lechem apanim, alechem apanim. We've got a bit of a theory here in where the lishka of the lechem apanim was. Remember, that was one of the lishkot. So because of midramina, right, of a theory between the two, that's what the Gemara said. Midramina lechem apanim, lechem apanim. Look at Rashi. Midramina lechem apanim, lechem apanim. Tahave sal kedate, what did we think? We thought that you're always going according to your north. Right? We said you go right. You always walk right. We saw that again with the dam. Remember we had the Olot HaTamid. We said, why do we not go to the southern corner, to the southeastern corner, because it wasn't a sword for an Ola. Ah, we had a carrier moving to our right. And then we got to the northwestern corner, northeastern corner. And there was a sword. That's why I gave the first blood spritch over there. And then you carried on walking to your right. You're always going a right, from your right. So he says, the Havasakarat, Shuhumo Nebo Lech Derech Yamin. He has his count in the Lishkot, going to his north. So he starts, Mitzafon Lema'arav. Okay, now turn north around, so north is like at the bottom, like in our minds, because you're starting at north, okay? So you go north, then north, if you're going to your right from north, so then you bump into east, right? Then you go up to Darum, then we Darum to Mizrach. And then Ishkata Tleim Betzfonit Ma'aravit, and Ishkata Chotamot B'Ma'aravit Dromit. So now we've got the Ishkata Chotamot opposite Ishkata Tleim, and Ishkata Beit HaMoked B'Dromit Mizrachit. So where do we have Ishkata Lechem? Ishkata Lechem Apanim B'Mizrachit Tzfonit. So we've got Mizrach, Ishkata Lechem, on the northeastern corner. That's in Tamid. Now in Masechet Midot, right, what do we say Masechet Midot? Say the Diktani, Dromit Mizrachiti Aita Lishkat Lechem Apanim. On the southeastern corner, Mizrachit Dromit. First we had over there, Lishkat Lechem Apanim is Mizrachit Tzfona. Now we've got it, Mizrachit Dromit. They both agree it's on the eastern side. In other words, the Lishka, the Lechem, is opposite the side of the Tlaim. Is it now the northern east or the southern east? We've got a steer between Tamid and Midot. Right? So it says over here, Umeshaninan, how do we answer this stira? Amravuna Bereid of Yeshua, Mar Kechashiv Derech Yamin, Umar Kechashiv Derech Smol. Nah, they're really in the same place. Just the one is going right and the one is going left. Look at Rashi. Amravuna Bereid of Yeshua, Tana de Midot, right? Tana de Midot. Kechashiv derech yamin. The Tana de Midot, he says that you're going to your right. And he ends up having it in the southeastern corner. Kerefarsh behedya, dekazil. Umani midarom lemizrach. So he goes from south to east. Umizrach letzafon, from north, from east to north. Umitzafon lemarav, merav lerom. Vahabala kif saviv kol habayit. Umekif derech yamin ubachutz. Zehu sera kafato, right? So that over there is the Masechet Midot. Umadit in the Tamid, the law pirish me doesn't explain which way you're going. Ikelemeimar derech small mana v'tu lo tikshe midi miashta. And therefore, we don't have to ask any more questions. He didn't explain which way. The one in Tamid said that the specifically went to your right. So therefore, the one in Tamid, we end up counting that the Lishka of the Lechem is in the north eastern corner, and the Mishnah in Midot didn't say which way we're going, so we can assume that he's going the other way, and that's why it's all the same, right? And he got to where we wanted to get. Okay, so to be honest with you, if we didn't get that so easy, because there's a lot of I think gymnastics over here, mind gymnastics too, now going from the left to the right, or right to left, etc. But the principle of the Gemara over here is that we're going to say that because of the stira of where the lechem apart, where the lishka of the lechem was, we can prove that everybody agrees that the lishka of the klaim really is in the north, the south western corner. Okay, so now look at Gemara says. Now it starts getting a little bit more interesting. Iamart, you want to prove to me that it's in the southwestern corner? Says Iamart bishlo b'mariyam v'dromit havai. If you're going to tell me that it's in the southwestern corner, everybody agrees. Remember the Rashi said there. He said there that Umodi ba'atana de tamid. That everybody agrees that Mistabris in the Gemara de Maravit drum in the southwestern corner more, right? And even the Tana in Tamid agrees with the Tana in Midot. Just he was going from Darum Tzafon, how you looked at it. Someone says, how will that work? He says, Iyamart, Bishlom b'Maravit drum in Hawaii. Then your lechem apanim, lechem apanim stirim works. If what you wanted to say, this is like an extra proof now that it has to be in the southwestern corner, because only if the lishkata klaim is in the southwestern corner, then does the resolving of the stira of where the lishka of the lechem was help us? Look what. Look at Rashi. Yema bishlom etana de tamid gufe. The Tani Lishkat Atlaim Betzvonit Maravit Modihu to the Tzad Maravit Dromit Havetvei. He says, only if you tell the Tana of the Tamid that he himself agrees with the Tana of Midot that really the Lishka is in the southwestern corner. En Lefi Marit Eino, however, just the way that he saw things, because he came from the south, Shana Mishnato, he changed his Mishnah. Because he came in from the south and it was like a bit of a longer lishka, he saw the northern corner and he was relating to that. Or you could say the way Rabbi Chananel explained it, and the Tosfot Yeshayim, that he was standing in the Azara and therefore he was saying it was in the north of the Azara. Either expression works well. And really he would always start in the north, in the southwestern corner. Then I understand why you're going to tell me that the steer between the lechem and lechem proves that it was in the southwestern corner. House Rashi Kaitzad. Because then we say that the lishka of the tlaim was in the southwestern corner. Lishkata chotamot ki azla derech small. Then we carry on going left now, and we come to what's in. We start off in the southwestern corner, and we go left. We come to the northwestern corner. What would be in the northwestern corner? Lishkat HaChotamot. And then you carry on moving now. So you go left, and now you're standing facing that. You go left again. You come to the northeastern corner. Lishkat Beit HaMoked, Tzfonit Mizrachit, will be the northeastern corner. And then your last corner you come to, Lishkat Lechem HaPanim, B'Mizrachit Dromit. Now it makes beautiful sense. If you start counting, that is in the southwestern corner, the Lishkat Klaim, and you go left, 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 the fourth Lishka, which is on the southern side, opposite the Lishkat HaTlaim, is your Lishkat HaLechem. Okay? That's, Rashi says, the Gemara says, that makes sense if you tell me that that's the way you do it. Look back at the Gemara.
What if they do in this
Chotamot,
the Lishkat
HaChotamot? We discussed this, we learned that in Shkalim. That's where they had those receipts, where the guys who would buy the Nesech and the Shemen would come there, and they would go and they'd pay and get the receipt, and they'd take the receipt and they'd go to the Lishkat HaShmanim or etc. And they would cash those in and get the Nesech and the Shemen. Rashi, remember, quoted the Gemara Masechet Shkalim that we learned. Okay, so now, then it would make sense that you go from the south western corner, you go northwest, then you go northeast, then you go southeast, and you come to Lechem HaPanim Lishka. He says, then it would make sense if everybody agrees to that.
Isn't that a right and not a left?
No, you're going left.
Because you go left, you go right.
No. Look here, you're standing facing the Lishka of the Tlaim, and you go to your left. What's your left? You're now on the southwestern corner. So if you're in the southwestern corner, you go left, it means you go north. So you go to the north. And now you're facing. Remember, you're always facing towards the Lishka. So if you're facing the Lishka and you go left, you go west, you come around the west, you come to the northwestern corner. Now you're facing the Lishka. We said the Lishka of the Chotamot. Then you carry on going left. You're now going from west to east, across the northern border. And you now come to the next Lishka. And then you go, carry on going left, and you come down to the southeastern corner. And there we have the Lishkat HaLechem. Okay?
You're walking backwards.
No, you're not walking backwards. If you're standing outside the Lishka, and you're looking into the Lishka. So if you're standing on the southwestern corner, looking at the Lishka, you're outside the Lishka, you're standing outside looking in, which is your left? You can't go more west because you want to go to the next Lishka. So if you go west and you come around the corner and you carry on walking left, you're going to end up going north. Look here. Can you see this diagram? Imagine there's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's southwest. You're standing there. Now you move left. You're now standing there. You move left. You're now standing there. You move left. You're now standing there. You move left. Okay? So you're going around.
Counterclockwise.
This is clockwise, not counterclockwise. Going left is clockwise.
No.
Because you, of course, because you're moving
right
to...
Is going, no. Right is going clockwise.
No, it's not.
It's counterclockwise.
It's not counterclockwise. I'm standing... The clock goes this way. Look here. The clock goes this way, right? The clock goes this way. The clock goes from east to west, from west to east. If 12 is north, then 9 is west, and 3 is east. So it goes clockwise is going left. It's also going right. It's going left and right. It depends where you how you're looking at it. We're all stupid. Clockwise doesn't mean left to right, man. The clock goes left and it goes right, and it goes north and it goes south. That's not even a clock. It moves 360 degrees. Arguing here about clockwise left or right.
Okay.
So now this is where you say that it's all in the eyes of the beholder, because it depends where you're standing, and that's what the Gemara is saying. It's a frame of reference. So let's carry on. So now. Okay, so highly limited lechem says that would be well. And I amart tzvonit marvit havai. But now if you're going to tell me really that the we said a second ago, Rashi explained to us that the Tana in Tamid agrees with the Tana in Midot, that's in the southwest. And what was the proof? The lechem apanim. The Gemara saying we agree with that if you say that the lechem up that the lishka is in the in, we agree in that the lishka is in the south southwest, that it works, right? However, if you say tzvorit baravitavai, like in Tamid, that it was in the northwest, then sof sof my tirutz lechem, the lechem probably wouldn't help us. Look in the Rashi. What does he mean by that? He says, Eli Amar, Dafke, Tani, Lishkarat La'im, Mikzot, Sfonit, Maravit. Not like we said just now that the Tani and Tamid agrees. If we were to say, no, he holds steady, that's actually in the proper northwestern corner, then Sof Sof, my teach to Lechem Apanim. How does Lechem Apanim help us? Because he says, Kimani, Derech Small, you're still going to go through small, right? And now let's assume that the Lishkat La'im now is the northwestern corner and not the Lishkat HaChotamot. So have a lishkat lechem apanim, but dromit maravit levim and yano. Then we'd start the whole story again, left again. We'd go the lishkat atlaim would be the northwestern corner. Then we'd move right, left, sorry, and left would be the lishkat chotamot. And then we'd have the third lishkat, then the fourth lishkat would be lechem apanim, and lechem apanim would then be in the southwest. So the only way that we're proving that the lechem machloket works is because we have got the lechem being on the southeast, and therefore the tla'im are in the southwest. And that's how the Gemara wants to prove it. So it's lev el alav shma mina, b'maravit romit havai shma mina. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, I've got to read you Rabbeinu Chanan Lavia, because this solution of here, which we brought, we're proving a Gemara in a masech, machloket, so to speak, between two masechtas, right? Where in masechet Tamid, we haven't got a Gemara at all. We only got Mishnayot. In Midot, we've got a Gemara, it's in Daf Yomi, right? We've learned Mishnah Midot. And we say that there's a stira between the two, there's Lechem Arami, Lechem Arami, Lechem Apanim, and because of that machloket, between two Gemaras, which we don't even know about the second Gemara, because we don't have a Gemara really in Masechet Tamid, is the source for solving a solution in this Gemara. Look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, towards the end of Rabbeinu Chananel, about 20 lines up, it's like this. Har Ramuya, the Parish Hacha, this stira via in the Gemaras, which we used to explain, Midra Minan Lechem Astira, which we used a stira of lechem apanim, alechem apanim v'chulei, lo matzan la makom mefurash b'talmud. We don't know, we have got no source for this. Isn't even a place in the Talmud where we've seen something like this. Where's this machloket of lechem alechem apanim? Elevadai kach ayata girsa. This pasha, there must have been a girsa like this, says Rabbeinu Chananel. The ramu upirku, that they had a stira and they solved. Ve'lo hutshuchu lichtov lefarshim. They never explained more than that. The Gemara told us it was lechem apanim, lechem apanim. Take it for granted. Assume that the Gemara knew what they were talking about. Even though we can't find anywhere in Shas, is Rabbeinu Chananel, this particular machloket, lechem apanim, lechem apanim, it's the source for the Gemara to resolve the stira between Tamid and Midot, and should Rabbeinu Chananel accept it? It was there. Unbelievable. Okay, let's carry on. Okay.
One question. Yeah. How important is it where each little Ishka was?
How important was it?
In the big realm.
Very important.
Why? What difference does it make if one was in the south?
I think you've got three children. Is it not important to know where their bedrooms are? It's important. The Beit HaMikdash. We want to know. We're trying to understand the Beit HaMikdash. Right? We want to know the Beit HaMikdash. So you're saying it's got no practical implications. It's only historical. That's what you're saying. Okay. So maybe not today, but when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we won't know where to put it. You'll tell me, okay, so whatever, Mashiach will tell us and you'll know. All right, maybe. Maybe you're right.
Is this the second Beit HaMikdash?
The second Beit HaMikdash. Well, no, truth so is,
the truth is,
I think that this is actually based on the first Beit HaMikdash. Based on the first Beit HaMikdash, because the Ulam and the Echa, which we've been speaking about over here, but most of the Masechta is speaking about the second Beit HaMikdash, but the drawings which we've seen, I think, are the second Beit HaMikdash, they're the improved version of the second Beit HaMikdash we've seen to be modeled in the first Beit HaMikdash. And maybe it was a machloket between them on what was what. Because remember that, but we know that there were, we've seen this before throughout the Salma Sechel, and we discussed it a lot, that they came back to Eretz Yisrael after Galut of 70 years, and there were still people who were old enough to remember what the first Beit HaMikdash looked like, and they might have known, they might not have known. I don't know, you know what? So it's a good question. But to be honest, that's a question you can ask on every single stira which we're having in the Mishnayot here of which was which. Is what's the practical implication? The practical implication, we learn the Masechtas and we try to understand what the Beit HaMikdash was. I agree with you, otherwise I know you'll answer the answer. Okay, let's go. Now, if you noticed, we were arguing just now whether it's clockwise or not clockwise, left or up, whatever, right? Bottom line is we explained that we went to the left. Everyone says, what sort of solution is this? Right? Now, it's interesting. The Masorah Shasavia quotes the Gemara we learned the other day on Daf Ted Vav. We mentioned there that all the turns, all the pniot were to the right. Rashi over here quotes a Gemara on the Kaman and Daf Mem Nunchet later on in the Masechet, right? But you see the Gemara is clear in two different places now, where we said Kol Pinot Shtapuneh Lo Yule Derech Yamin LeMizrach. We always go Derech Yamin, right? North to our right. In other words, we go towards the Mizrach always. We're assuming that we're facing the north and we go towards the Mizrach. The Gemara says no. Don't get confused. Hani Mili Ba'avoda. That's when it comes to doing avodah. Avalacha chushman abamahu might be a part answer to your question, Selwyn. But here we just try to understand. We just did calculations, not really part of avodah. Should it work out where it was, what was going on, to get more of a general explanation, right? And I read a little bit. Okay, now back to our Mishnah. She kohen gadol makriv chelik roshu v'tel chelik roshu. We said the kohen gadol, he has first right of refusal on any avodah by Mikdash. He can take what he wants, when he wants. Worse, it brings a bright along those lines. Tarabanan. Ketzad makriv chelik barosh. How does the Kohen Gadol do a part of the avodah? So then he can take whatever he wants. So he said like this. Omer, he says simply, Ola zo ani makriv. This Olet chaps, I'm doing Mincha Zo Ani Makriv. Step aside, I'm coming in to do the Avodah. And anybody there from the Beit Av who was there on that day would say, okay, Mr. Kohen Gadol, please go ahead.
He pulls rank, exactly.
Right? Venotel Chala, and not, so the first part of the Brayta speaks about Avodah of the actual Korbanot. Then we see it carries on. Venotel Chala Mishtei Chalot. So now Rashi says over here from the Shlat Seret on Shavuot, coming up soon, we have the Shtei Alechem. He can take one of the Shtei Alechem, Notel Chala Mishtei Alechem, one of them. I was going to put a little bit of background into this before we go ahead. It'll make it easier to understand. We're going to see him in the moment. The Gemara is going to present a problem in the Brayta. And we don't like Braytas being one time. Sorry?
Didn't you miss the learn about the Chata?
I said, Notel Omer Chatat Zon Yochel, Hashem Zon Yochel. He can take either one he wants. Arachatar or Nasham, he can take whatever he wants. So that was the Avodah, the Korbanot. Then, in addition to the Korbanot, it also comes to other stuff that he can take. Now, there was the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot, and there was the Lechem Apanim in the every Shabbos that would split out. Right? So there's a machloket here between Rebbe and Chachamim, whether the Kohen Gadol can take half of everything. Or has to take just less than half of everything. In other words, let's say, for example, there's two Shtei Alechem. We saw he can take one. Or maybe one out of two is half. It's too much. And listen, Kohen Gadol, Kvodcha b'mkomcha munach, we recognize your greatness. However, you can't take half. You can take a bit more. That's a malach. We'll see it in a moment. Rashi will refer to it in a second. So I want to just put background into the Brayta to help us understand the Brayta. If you look in the Brayta is now ignoring the first two parts of the Brayta about the Shlamim and the Ola, and then splits the last part of the Brayta into a Reisha, a Metziata, and a Seifa. So the Reisha is the Shtei Alechem. There we see he takes one of two. Then he says, he can also take Arba or Chamesh Mimaseh Lechem Apanim, four or five loaves from the Lechem Apanim, right? Four or five. We'll see. Actually were 12 Lechem Apanim, right? So why four or five? Two of them were not spread out, apparently. We'll see just now. Two of them weren't given out to the Kohanim. So only 10 were spread to the Kohanim. So if we say that he can take half, then he can take five. If we say that he's got to take four or five, then we see four is now less than half. So one out of two is half. Four is less than half. Then the brother carries on and says, Rebbe Omer, right? Rebbe says, Lo'olam chamesh. He always takes five. So we see that in the Reisha, he took half, one out of two. In the Metziut, the middle, it says, the Tana speaking there says four or five, which means, seems to be implying less than half. And Rebbe says, no, five, half. Okay. So now look at Rashi's quickly. We see that on when five. So now look in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Rebbe says, "Le'olam chamesh." Why? Sheneemar. Rebbe's got a makor. Vaital Aaron levanav mechzel Aaron umechzel banav. What does that pasuk mean over here? Well, the pasuk says, "Vaital Aaron levanav v'achlub makom kodesh kadosh ki kodesh kodeshim hu lo v'asher asher bechoklam." That Aaron and his son split up the food. So what does Rebbe say? Why Aaron uvanav? It's pashut. It says Aaron mechza ulevanav. It says mechza Aaron umechza levanav. 50-50. Look at Rashi now. Va'af al pi shein shneim. What? I'm not sure. Maybe everything. Here we're speaking particularly. We're talking here about the lechem apanim, but I'm not sure. It could be everything. I don't know. Because in the shtei lechem was also half. So look at Rashi over here. Afa pi shehen shtei masim, there are 12 loaves. Yesh ben shtei chalot she'enan mitchachot mifarsht azu. See that? It's amazing. That's a chidush for me. Right? There are two loaves. Make it out. They don't get spit out. So now we've got a bit of a steer over here. So the Gemara says as follows. Ha gufa kashya. There's a proper inherent steer over here. Why? Amato tel chala achat mishtei chalot. You say he takes one out of the two chalot, which is half. Mani, who's the ton of that brighter? Must be Rebbe. Damar pal gashakil. Because Rebbe says take half. Amim etziach in the middle of the brighter, suddenly when it came to the lechem apanim, we said there arba o chamesh b'maase lechem apanim. So therefore arba o chamesh, arba seems to imply then maybe you should take four or five, it depends when. But there's an opinion that there are sometimes it only takes four, which is less than half. Right? Atanya, now we've got to Rabbanan. Now we've arrived at Rabbanan. Look at Rashi there. He says over there that he shouldn't take half, says Rabbanan. And Rashi says, because if he would take half, he would take five. So that's Rabbanan. He says, Lo Shakil Talbi, and that Machlok with Rebbe. And then Amos Sefer, then again Rebbe says, Lo Lam Chamesh, back to five. The Gemara said, what? Reisha b'seifa Rebbe, u'mitziata Rabbanan. We don't like that. The Reisha is half. Why? Because it's five. Two out of two. The Seifa Rebbe says, take always five. And the Mitziuta said four or five, which implies that sometimes you only take four, which is less than half, which seems to be Rabbanan. Look at Rashi. Reisha u'mitziata Rabbanan. The Amre lo shakil palg ele batzim ipag. It takes less than half. U'dekash yelach. And now, okay, Rashi, before the answer, right? So the Gemara says that now, but what's the problem? How can Rebbe be the Reisha? When the Reisha says one, oh no, sorry, Rebbe can be the Reisha, sorry. So the Gemara says like this, no. Amar Abaya, Reisha u'metziat Rabbanan. Look, the safest obviously Rebbe, because it says Rebbe Omer, right? The Mishnah says there in that bright which you brought, Rebbe Omer, lo'olam chamesh. So, but our problem is with the Reisha. So the Gemara says, no, the Reisha and the Metziuta are all Rabbanan, and Rebbe's cholek. And how can it be Rabbanan? Umodu Rabbanan beprusa delav orich aril lemeitav lekoen gadol. Look at Rashi over here. How can you go, even Rabbanan agree that you always got to take less than half? And the Reisha, one out of two lechem of the shtei lechem is Rabbanan. So why does Rabbanan say take a whole lechem? It says not mechubad to give the kohen gadol a piece. You don't take one of those breads and slice and say kohen gadol is a piece. You give him a whole lechem. So the only two takes one. Look at Rashi here. Damreg, lo shakil pagel v'dekashilach chale b'shtei lechem, dekashilach kula. More Rabbi here, Rabbanan agrees. The lavorich ara lemifrusei ulemeitav prusa lekohen gadol, to break it up and give him a piece. End of Aviyah.